CliffCentral.com. All right, it is time for the first of our new series called Uncancelled, the first episode of this. I'm very excited to premiere it, debut it on the show here this morning with my dear friend Unati Nkai, who's always fascinating. She's one of the best people to talk to. She's got stories for days. She opens up about everything. She's an absolute sweetheart, and she probably can teach all of us a thing or two about how to listen, first of all, when your parents, even if you're in your 40s, you should sometimes take your parents' advice if they're still around and you have a relationship with them. Also, she and her husband, ex-husband, have handled divorce in a way that seems to me to be exemplary. Their kids are all grown up, and it's just incredible what a mother and a career woman Unati is. But also, she gets into the down and dirty about her arguments and her dismissal from her previous employer. She talks about how she's fighting back on that front. She also talks about how her relationship with Somizi has deteriorated. And she's very honest, upfront, straightforward. I just love that about her. So here it is, without any further ado, our first episode of Uncancelled, the first of many. And we would love you to join us for the next one. We will be selling tickets a little closer to the time. It's about a month from now. And we will make those tickets available. We'll let you know as soon as the guest is confirmed. But it's not just sitting in the audience being a part of this, which is great enough. But also, when you come, you will be shown around our new offices, which are amazing. You'll also be given some incredible food because we have partners there who just provide the most amazing food. You could ask anybody who was there at the last one. And also drink, meet some of the people behind the scenes at cliffcentral.com. We want you to be part of our family. So we're doing this now, taking podcasting and video casting to the next level and doing it with a live studio audience. All of this is happening with Uncancelled, and you get to see the first episode right now. So stick around for this and a whole lot more. cliffcentral.com, taking things forward and taking things up a level. I've already given her a little bit of an intro, but she's also been a friend of mine since 2001. So in doing this, you don't want to just invite anybody. So I invited someone who I love to pieces. I think we could have in another time and place been married. We would have had such beautiful children. But, God, I love you. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh no, there ain't no damage from my point of view. Unati Nkai. All right. All right.
Am I damaged goods, Chief?
No, God, no. You're perfect.
Hi, baby.
So, okay, the idea here, and I said it already, is that we're going to talk about everything because it's not a profile interview. There are a lot of things people want to know about you. You haven't been speaking to anyone in the press recently, but you've been picking up your boxing gloves and you're fighting with a couple of people, which I think is brave because you've never been one to allow people to walk all over you.
Sure.
So we got to cover that ground because these people didn't come here for their health.
Sure. And as TT aptly put it, it's a school night.
It is a school night.
It's a school night. So when you get me out of my house, make sure it's worth it, my love.
Well, this is also your house now.
Thank you.
So first of all, you've had so much going on. I mean, people probably know most of what we are together from Idols.
Yeah.
And you found out that you weren't doing that show anymore from the media.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know, right?
Well, I found out because they fired me. Or tried. And then I took them to court and beat their asses.
And they apologized.
But actually, I mean, Unati and I can be honest about this because we've had, you know, a long relationship here. But when I went back on the show after the court forced them to put me back on the show, she was angry with me. I mean, you cried. We had that dinner, and you shouted at me, and you stormed out, and you were in tears, and I had to come and...
I forgot about that.
I had to come and give you a big hug.
It was at the Hilton.
Mm-hmm. In Durban. First, it was 2 days after the...
I need a tissue. You're going to make me cry from the beginning. I completely forgot about that dinner.
I haven't.
Did I hurt your feelings that day?
No, because you were justified. I mean, I had I'd caused a lot of upset unintentionally. And we were both, I think, full of emotion, which is something that you rarely find me in.
Yeah. Can I share our conversation?
Go on.
I think for me, you know, what got me about the Gareth moment, I forgot about that. I'm so sure.
I wasn't laying it as a trap.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is I forgot how raw that dinner was for us. That's what I'm saying. For me, the monkeys on a beach, we all remember that story. And I'm a qualified journalist. You know, I've studied and I've gone to Rhodes University and I studied at the University of Utrecht for my craft. So I fully understood you and what you were fighting for.
Mm-hmm.
But as a black woman who grew up as a foreigner in Namibia, in the UK, in the Netherlands, I couldn't allow you to forget that about us and me. Mm. And that was the conversation we had to have as an Idols family, from the execs, from the channel, down to the production. And that was the conversation. And I literally said to G, I said, G, it's so weird because it's scientific for us. You know, salt is the most powerful cleansing resource in the world. And that's why we go to the beach.
No, but I knew that.
Yes,
it wasn't
of course.
My comment.
Yeah. And no, of course. And in the conversations we were having, I was explaining scientifically as a black people, salt is a very powerful cleansing resource for us. And for people who can't afford it, but also spiritually, ritually, we cleanse at the end of 1 year and we begin the new year. So for her to say monkeys at a beach, and for you to say she's just, yes, she's not
no,
the smartest
my, you,
woman.
You will remember, I mean, this is like old territory now, but it's worth going over one last time.
Yeah.
That my issue was Musi Maimane's post about freedom of speech.
Yeah,
and
completely.
It all became part of this story.
Yeah.
But I think you were also angry with me because we had been kind of pitched against each other and people said, oh, Unati said this and she didn't get fired and how come he did? You know, and that was a story later on that year when you got into trouble and Somizi got into trouble as well.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like sometimes the trouble follows us.
Yeah.
Sometimes we make it for ourselves. But I like that we had like a proper moment of conflict.
But we always do.
Because it was honest, you know?
Yeah.
People don't do that anymore. They pretended on the Kardashians, but this was real.
But I think for me, and that's why, you know, you got me so emotional. I completely forgot that moment because we have these moments throughout our life. So, you know, it's not the only one we've had. It wasn't the first. We've always been genuine with each other.
So, I mean, 6 years on that TV show, but we met each other in...
I forgot about that meeting.
In 2001 when you were doing Castle Loud.
Yeah.
And we had...
You were at 702 at the time.
That's right. I put you on 702 with me on Celebrity Survivor. I made you eat what? Sheep testicles and that.
Yeah.
she's never forgiven me for that either. Also, secretly...
Culturally, it wasn't the right thing to
secretly
show.
It prepared her for divorce. You know, I got on the phone with her the other day and her son was there and Snako said hello and he's a man.
Hello, Uncle Gary.
And I suddenly realized, Jesus, we're old.
Yeah.
Because in this business, I think it's harder on women than it is on men, but you are, they tell you you're old. They don't hold back, you know?
No, they don't. And it's a conversation I was having with Dumi in the volume.
Oh, yes.
Stogie. And ageism is rife in women and in the hip-hop fraternity.
Oh, yeah.
It's an insecurity, Gareth. Like, okay, I'm old. I still kick your ass.
No, I know.
It's an insecurity for me. So for someone who, like, there's a guy who's hitting on me, right? Weirdly enough.
No, it does happen.
No, shush, man. But he says to me, oh, sexist gogwana.
Oh, no.
So, do you know what I mean? And I'm like...
45.
No, he's much older than me. I think he's like... No. Well, not much older. He's whatever, man. I don't care about age. He's older than me. But I'm thinking, I'm looking at it going, so I'm going to say yes to you. Oh, sex is gogwana. Do you know what I mean? So for me, it's an insecurity that I see that people project. People started calling me Sis Unati at 24.
Yeah.
24.
Yo.
I was at YFM. Mpoma Boy was the first person, actually. She's the one who gave me the sissy thing. Cause I was at YFM and then she arrives and she was a newbie. And then she's like, sis. And I'm like, you don't have to call me sis. And she's like, no, but you're old. And I'm like, I'm 24. Also, I don't like defending oldness. So I'm like, do you, boo? Do you want to call me sissy? She's like, yes, I'd feel better. Then I was like, okay, weird. I'm 24, but I'm your sissy. And then literally I was at YFM. So for me, I've always.
It's like the youngest station in the country.
Do you know what I mean? So I've always like looked at ageism like, it's your issue, Makai. Like you. Oh, so if
yeah, but it's because nice to be. It's nice to be born beautiful.
No, but thank you.
I mean, do me a favor. You know how I've struggled, the Hunchback of Sandhurst.
Thank you, but
well,
think about it.
Well, used to be Rivonia. Look,
but ageism goes both ways, right? Think about it. How many people bitched about Billie Eilish not having deserved the accolade of writing an original song for the score of Bond.
Yeah, sure.
So ageism goes both ways. It's either you're too old or too young. And that's why I'm like,
but everybody's also issues. Everybody's going through that too, because, you know, again, to not bring up this whole episode we went through for 2 years with COVID, but people look in the mirror like, they go, what happened? 2 years went by and maybe I didn't go to gym. Maybe I didn't. I mean, you've stayed in shape. You
I've
look
had
fantastic.
To. Thank you. I've had to.
But a lot of us haven't necessarily, you know, kept up.
You look great, Eugene. Stop it. He's doing this. He's like me.
Eugene took a house for a year on the beach and didn't talk to anyone.
He came to my hood. He came to GQ.
They've tried with you to cancel you. Right.
And
people still go, there's no such thing as cancel culture. I'm like, yeah, you say that to me when you've experienced it. They've tried to do it to you, TV, radio,
yeah,
music.
Yeah.
And you fought all of them. And sometimes it's pretty tiring and it can be really hard. And anyone these days can have, anybody here can have this happen to them. Right. You don't have to be a megastar, a superstar, a huge, powerful industry player. You could just be someone with 20 followers and you could get something like this happen to you.
Yeah.
And Muzi Kuzwayo was here, said to me once when a lot of this shit was going on.
When shit was happening.
Yes.
He gave me the Muhammad Ali allergy.
He gave me the Muhammad Ali allergy and said, sometimes you just got to let them knock you out, take the count and get back up again.
Yeah.
But like, what's your thing there? What's your secret there? Because you keep coming.
Do I even have a secret, G? Because I think, like Eugene was saying, we don't have a choice, dude. Like, Temba's here. Temba, where you at? We met earlier on. Yeah, Temba, yes, of course. I saw I was looking for the beard. And I was telling Temba that I'll never forget him because he shares a name with my grandfather. I'm the only grandchild my grandfather named. Hmm. He didn't give me my first name, Unati. He gave me my second name, Fundiswa, which means I am the one who is to be educated on behalf of the family. A grandfather who wasn't educated, a grandmother who never went to school. My parents, both of them, left South Africa for 10 years, didn't see their parents because apartheid didn't want us to be educated. So we had to go and live abroad, not see our families. These are the sacrifices my lineage has made for me. Who are you?
To cancel.
No, to think you even can. Do you know what I mean? Like, people don't understand. My destiny was given to me when I was still in my mother's womb. When my paternal grandfather said, she will break the family curse. So when you are born with that behind you, and then it's implemented.
Pressure.
6 months after I was born, my family moved to Namibia because my parents had to finish their education. We lived in Namibia for 4 years. Then we moved to the UK. We stayed there till I was 12. We came back here. Who are you to not understand what my family has done to make me who I am?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I go to school to study and qualify for what I'm doing. Honestly, sitting at home with your phone, with the data that you've bought, in your anger, because you don't cancel people.
This is something though,
with
sorry,
love.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is something that we used to talk. People always said, "What do you guys talk about when the cameras aren't rolling on Idols?" Because we, you know, they would do takes. Most of it,
they would wait for us to finish conversations.
And the conversations,
guys, do you mind if we get back to the show?
I mean, the conversations are sometimes filthy.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't even...
You and Randall are disgusting.
Are one to talk.
I had to keep up with you guys.
Jesus, I've never heard from a woman's mouth those things you said.
Fuck your life.
But sometimes...
You and Randall are filthy.
I remember a conversation in the dressing room at, I think it was Wild Coast Sun. And the press, you people... We're giving Somizi like
you people.
Hell. Not all of you. No. In fact, I don't see anyone here that I have
a
problem with. But,
but
trust me, they're out there. I'm sure Nati has them too. But I remember you guys talking about how, especially the black press, treated celebrities like playthings, and they wanted to fuck you up.
Yeah,
it was like they want the only joy that some journalists could have was to tear you to pieces.
I remember there was a lady, and I don't know if people remember her because it was a very long time ago. And I remember it was, I released my debut music album. So also that's another thing I had to deal with, right? Because I broke out on TV, Castle Loud, everyone's like, yes, she's the TV babe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm actually the educated one. So I'll do whatever I want. And then why took me? And they're like, yeah, but you can't do TV and radio. You can't do
both. Open up the industry.
Squeeze us in.
Remember,
I only have size 4/22 when you look like a 38, my brother. I'm kidding. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then I released my debut album. There was a lady called Sis Google, and she was the head of Shwa Shwi back in the day.
Yeah, I remember Shwa Shwi.
And there was your You magazines when they were still tabloidy.
Yeah.
When they would destroy us. Heat. No, Heat came after. Sis Google literally called me and she said, these are my banking details. You will deposit 5,000 rand.
Oh.
She called me and I said, I don't do that. And she said, Nati, I will destroy you. I said, try.
Wow.
I was signed to Ghetto Rough at the time. I called Lance and then I said, Lance, this woman called me. I've never heard of this. Whatever, whatever. He goes, oh no, there's a term for it. It's called Bayola. I said, oh wow, is it a thing? And Lance was like, yes. And he's like, so what do you want us to do about it? I said, Lance, I've just written a song that's on the Tsotsi soundtrack and we've just won an Oscar. The first song I wrote won Song of the Year for you, for Zola. First song I wrote in my life just gave you Song of the Year for Zola. The second song I wrote is on the Tsotsi soundtrack and we have an Oscar. I said, and are you genuinely asking me what we must do? I was like, nah, nigga.
I love when you get like fucking gangster. I mean, you never saw this on TV, right?
This is us backstage.
Oh,
sorry.
She goes, oh, honey. She goes, oh,
they
honey.
They don't know the sound of me.
Sing that again for us. You're so beautiful. People are like, she's so sweet. She's so nice.
I'm far from sweet.
Yeah.
I'm far from sweet. Literally, I was like, what are you saying? Like, do you not trust what
so
you
in,
have here?
In which hole is she buried?
Oh man, like find her and tell her I love her and yo, peace out. So for me to answer your question, I don't have secrets or like a secret way of dealing with life. I surrender. I am obedient. I am actively faithful. I was born an orator. There's nothing I can do about it. This is what I was deemed to be. Whether you like it or not, I guess when you want to cancel me, unfollow me, mute me. I say the same.
Because you're not going to stop.
No, I can't. I don't have a choice. You know what I mean?
So you're suing the pants off of Kaya.
I like the way you know my secrets. Then you're like,
No.
He's like,
she's going for the jugular. I'm proving the point. You're not just saying it, you're doing it.
I've started it. I've done it already. So I started litigation against Kaya beginning of February.
She is not
Why
she's
are you
not
nervous
speaking.
About it? No,
she
no.
hasn't spoken about this.
I haven't. Yeah. Why are you nervous about it? It's just the way you were like, wow. Oh, was it you, TT? Sorry, my laugh. Yeah, it's okay. TT, what? Your wow caught me. Why were you like, your wow was.
He's never seen balls in a woman before.
No, okay, you want to talk about it?
Well, as much as you can. I don't want to get in the way of it.
Okay, so 2021, they fire me. 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 a.m., I got the email. I'm in Qabeja. Sorry, my peoples. I'm in GQ.
Yes.
So we call it GQ. I'm in GQ with Prince KB.
Mm-hmm.
We've hired a holiday house looking over the harbor. He's like, let's make some music. I'm like, cool. I say to him, yo, behind the scenes, there's some shit going down with Kaya. I've been suspended. He's like, it's okay. I'll get it. I'll make you forget about it. Let's disappear. We get there. First day, second day, third day, I get an email, 10 o'clock, I've been fired. 6 minutes after 10, they've sent out the press release. We fired the bitch. So it was a double story. And so Kabelo, Prince KB, were there with his team, his keyboardist, producer, this guitarist. So there are about 8 of us in the house. I'm the only female. So I cook during the day. They make the music. We make music. It's beautiful. It's like 10-day getaway. So all our bedrooms are upstairs and the entertainment area is downstairs. He's next to me. So I send him a WhatsApp. I'm like, are you awake? He says, yes. I said, do you want to come through or must I come through to his bedroom? So he says, I'm coming through. He comes to my bedroom. I say, I'm fired. He goes, what do you want to do? So I say, I just need to deal with my family. I just need to make sure that they don't get aunts and uncles. I just need to make sure my mom, dad, my kids are fine. So he says, what do you need? I said, give me 30 minutes. We'll get into it. First person I call is my mom. She's like, you're going to sue them. I said, no, I'm not. She says, you're going to sue them. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of it. I'm not going to do anything. She says, you're going to sue them. I said, okay, ma. You know my parents. So I go, okay, ma. She says, have you spoken to your dad? So I said, no, I'm going to call daddy now. Because I know you're the more emotional one. I needed to. Are you fine?
First.
She's like, I'm fine. You're going to use this constitution that we have, which is one of the best in the world, and you're going to sue. Do you hear me? So I go, Ewema.
Okay.
And my age. Call my dad. My dad's like, how are you? So I say, I'm numb, weirdly enough. So he goes, that's fine. How are you and Cabello? So I'm like, we're making great music. He says, that's fine. He says, have you told the kids? So I said, no, I wanted to tell you and mom first. He says, what does your mom say? I said, mom says, I'm going to sue. He says, what do you say? I say, I'm tired. Dad says, I'm calling David now. Feinberg.
All right.
Our pit bull.
Got to have a lawyer.
He calls David. David calls me. He says, mom and dad have spoken to me. They've told me you don't want to sue. They're telling me that you are going to sue. So we're suing. That's how it happened. But then my dad said to me, don't rush. Give it a year. Because, you know, I come from a family of ancestral healers, not spiritual healers. We've had this conversation. Not izangoma, not inyanga. I have to say it in Xhosa, then I'll translate it. Dipumogo kaela maqqirha, which are ancestral healers. So we get given things. And my dad was like, you're not going to touch them for at least a year. So I'm like, why? He's like,
I just know.
No, he said it. He said, yeah, they're going to turn on each other.
Mm.
So I said, there's no way. I'm like, did you see how they ganged up on me? Like, I'm like, daddy, there's no way they're going to turn on each other. He said to me, Mdanam, our people have told me that I must tell you, you're going to wait a year and let them turn on each other. So when they fired Sibongile, my dad said, now you can go. He said, this is what they were showing me. So yeah, we started the arbitration journey and we sent them the letters and now we're currently preparing for arbitration.
But
it's going to be an interesting journey.
A lot of this stuff isn't as Machiavellian as people think it is. I mean, sometimes stuff just happens.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was talked into fighting Mnet by Dalimpofu.
Yeah.
And then people go, that's very weird. He was national chairperson of the EFF.
Yeah.
Standing up for you during, like, you're the guy who's backing up, yeah, like, racist comments.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, right? And with these guys, their lawyer got hold of your lawyer.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing for me. So, you know, we've been having our regular meetings with my attorneys and the advocates. So it's my group of attorneys, group of advocates, and now we're signing the arbitration contract. It's six figures expensive. It's ridiculous. Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. And that's, I've had to save for that.
So uncancelled doesn't come without costs. We will ask you all for a contribution to the champagne later on.
You know what I mean?
To prove the point.
You know what I mean? So we initially sent the first letter and they responded, receipt of letter. But on Friday,
This Friday,
it hasn't been a week. It's going to be a week tomorrow. The Kaya attorney sent my attorneys an email requesting a copy of my employment contract. Exactly. That's what my mother said. My mother said, yo, Danam. My father said, yeah, I'm a full man. I didn't want to tell you what people have been saying.
So,
David called me and he was like, what should we do? I said, send them my contract. I said, is it on email? And he said, yes. And I said, send them my contract. So,
they didn't have a copy, huh?
Yeah. That should tell you. That worries me. You know, because my dad was like, what do you make of this? And I said, I make one of two things. It's either they were so cocky, they told themselves that they're done with me and I'm finished.
Burnt the fire,
yeah. Or the house is in such disarray.
We can only speculate.
I don't even care enough to speculate. No. Just give me my money.
All right, So also with music, I mean, yes. I remember the first time I saw you perform was the first time you performed. So we really do go back.
Wasn't that terrifying for me?
I was joking with, do you know who I took with me to the Ja Rule concert?
Who?
There's a person in this room who's a massive Ja Rule fan, and none of you will ever guess who it is.
Where would I be without my baby? It's murder. Where are you? Why are you singing behind the wall?
It's Rena.
Rena, are you kidding me?
No, I fucking kid you not.
Ja Rule.
Ja Rule.
Did you meet him?
There was
him
a shootout in the parking lot afterwards.
Wasn't that insane? You had Ja Rule from New York, and then you had Zola, South Africa's biggest gangster. And we were, that was my first performance.
But you performed. First ever live
performance.
That
was my first performance in my life, was performing at the Northgate Dome. 17,000 people. Firstly, I didn't understand what I was doing there. And then Zola's like pacing up and down the stage because it was his thing.
Yeah.
And I'd never performed in my life. Well, you know what I mean. I was in the choir.
And then they kicked
me out of the choir. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't even know what to do. So I used to have this thing when I first started performing, a nervous twitch. I just perform an entire set with rubbing my ear to comfort myself. And then eventually Thomas, the one day, he's like, stop, quit the ear now. I was like, okay, my love, must I quit the ear? He's like, quit the ear now. So then I had to accept myself as in where I am right now.
I mean, if anybody in this audience has a bad habit, you have to have people who really love you to tell you about that bad habit.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to come from, I mean, if it comes from someone you don't know, you're going to just think, it's not true. It's nonsense. And you don't trust their input anyway.
Yeah.
And when you've got thousands of people giving you input on everything.
I'll tell you which concert.
Well,
were you there at the Missy Elliott concert?
I may have been. Is it worth it?
Let me work it. He was like, my love, you can't have Missy and then you're here like this. He's like, just like, come out now. I was like, okay, it's time to come out. So it was the Missy Elliott, Kelly Kumalo.
Oh, I remember that.
Leb Matosa, myself, TK. Yeah, it was beautiful. We've had great experiences.
We got very, 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 very drunk. Well, a few times.
Which one? I was gonna say, which one was it? Westlife?
So yeah, we were both singing with Westlife at Sun City at Trader Horn's pub after their concert.
And the bus came and fetched us at 8 o'clock in the morning with them blacked out windows and took us back to the palace and said, it's enough now.
This is after the staff was cleaning around us.
Yes.
And we refused to go.
And we were,
and
singing,
we were drinking shooters.
Singing
Lauryn Hill's
Lauryn Hill.
And what is Miseducation of Lauryn Hill? Track 1 to number 16.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of them was like, hey, you look like Lauryn Hill. Do you sound like her? I was like, yeah. And they were like, you're lying. Give us a song. And then literally we sang the one song. And then they were like, let's sing the whole album.
Come, we sat there the
we
whole time.
We literally sat the whole night
and
singing the
warning,
entire album.
Like, I know there are some people who can drink, right? But I got to tell you, drinking with Irish people is exceedingly dangerous.
But also drinking with you and Randall is exceedingly dangerous. Can I tell you what they
back
do?
Back at you.
Can I tell you what they do? So we used to have one contentious night on Idols where we'd fight, all of us. And like fight viciously, like... I would never swear at Mr. A. But that was the one night, Randall, I'd be on some, fuck you, Randall. Do you know what I mean? So every year, this was our tradition. Randall only drinks tequila. He only drinks tequila with water.
Same here.
And you. So that's the night where we'd have, they'd ice our tequila from the morning.
Mm.
And then we'd get to deliberation. Now we're going from like a top 30-something and we're choosing the top 15 or whatever. So we would fight because we'd have our favorites. And we would, Randall, firstly, he'd open it up and say, it's not personal. Then we'll all have a shot. And then G would say, it's not personal. Have a shot. Then I'd say, it's not personal. We'll have a shot. And literally.
It got personal.
It would get very, very personal. And then to get back to a place of love. Then we'd go partying at Sun City, which was Traders.
Hmm.
Party till like 4 a.m.
That place should have given us shares.
I know, no. I know. We'd go home at like 4 a.m.
But
6 o'clock in the 6 o'clock in the morning, the three of us were at the Sun City.
The Gary Player gym.
The Gary Player gym. We've got those three treadmills, and the three of us are running, looking onto the golf course, running out all the alcohol for me to be back on set 7:30 for makeup and then for you guys to join me an hour later.
Yeah.
It's
And you tell me a TikTok influencer works hard.
But by 4 o'clock, we'd be very rude bunch of judges.
Oh, by that afternoon. Like, you'll see there's still some footage. And I mean, people send me these clips all the time. Like, there's footage of us being really
grumpy.
And it wasn't because we didn't like their singing. It was because we were really tired.
Hungover
by that time, yeah.
And dehydrated.
But, okay, so the TV thing, because I think it's quite a cool thing to have been part of that show for, what, how many years? 8, 9?
11. Futsak, 11. No. You know, that's...
I don't even know.
Futsak, 11.
When did I finish, Rena?
2016. You still
so
know your life.
It's been 7 years. I don't really think about it that often, but people send me these clips, and then I suddenly think, you know, the thing I loved about it the most was because the singers come and go.
Yeah.
But we were there every year, and we would laugh, and we would have fun.
Yeah.
But we also used to have fun, even though we weren't on the same radio stations, just talking about the industry. And I wonder what you think about TV now. And because TV isn't what it once was.
No.
Everybody knows that, right? We all agree on that, I'm sure. And radio isn't what it once was. And I made a conscious decision when I came off radio, I wasn't going to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I did and I said anything negative, people would think I was being bitter. And on TV, when I never used to watch reality TV anyway.
Mm.
So I never watched those shows before. So it wasn't a huge difficulty for me to give them up. But you have paid attention, and you are still, I mean, we've got to look at what's going on YouTube, and we're still, you know, able to get that stuff going when and wherever we want. But it's different now. And the music business is different now.
It's very different. The models are different. The engagements are different. The audiences are different because we established ourselves when everything was linear. And I speak of time now. And in terms of the way, I don't want to use the word content because it's so misused.
Mm-hmm.
But the way information and subject matter was distributed, it was very linear in terms of it was, as you were saying, it was radio stations. And you have to listen to a certain radio station or a show. And you know there's the bulletin at the top of the hour. There's the headlines at the bottom of the hour. Then you know your links are either at 10 past, 20 past, 22, or 10 to.
Yeah.
Or
like
if your clocks
format.
Are different, it's 20.
Yeah.
Do you know the format? The same with television. It's linear. We know that at 10 past, the program's going to break, and then we're going to be forced to watch ads. Now, there's no such thing as linear time, as Yuji was saying. We've got these capsules of great moments in our lives, and that's where, I guess, the challenge is, but also that's where the excitement is because there's no linear or gate. There are no gatekeepers, G. There are no gatekeepers telling us.
You mean don't need someone to open up the industry?
We don't need anyone to open up the industry. Isn't it crazy how... But I was thinking about that when I was getting ready for today.
You had too many jobs.
You have too many jobs. Nati, why are you singing? Why are you on radio? Why are you on television? Why are you behind the scenes? Why do you have your own company?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Right.
Get your own. But it's because of social media that we don't have those conversations now. Because there are no gatekeepers, and we can produce whatever we want for our audiences. We were talking about how Pretoria, with the UFM host, how Pretoria now is coming up with a wonderful, you know, genre of music that is a beautiful hybrid between Qom and Amapiano. And they have an audience because they have access to each other, because they know where to find each other.
Yeah.
So, as much as to answer your question, it's very cluttered and it's messy and it's multidirectional, but that's not a wrong thing. It's for us now to find, do you want to go anywhere? Firstly, and if so, where do you want to go? Who do you want to take with you? Who do you want to go to? And who do you want to take with you?
Do you want to date anyone?
No.
Because I feel the same way.
Dating traumatizes me, G. Yo.
Because you've at least had the marriage and the children.
I've got it, me.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
You said she spent a whole day today in the garden.
I did.
Sounds like one of these kept
on my
women.
Deathbed.
Yeah, it's nice.
I've kept myself.
Yeah, no.
On
okay.
my
I'm not
day
saying
day.
Anyone else is keeping that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, that's what I mean.
But you don't want... You've been there.
You know...
Or you think that might change?
It probably will, ne?
The door isn't locked. It's just
closed.
Shut.
It's closed right now. It is locked right now. Because, G... Little examples, ne? Yo, guys. I'll give you an example. Just of a masseuse, ne? I went to a spa. This young lady was massaging me, and I'm lying on my stomach, and she's massaging me. And she literally said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm touching you right now. You understand? That's a masseuse. So can you understand, like a man now that I'm... Get it?
And you would be a prize.
You understand?
Mean... There's some people who go, I do not think I want.
You know what? And this is what happened to me last year.
I would be
year.
Posting about that.
So this is what happened to me last year, right? So this is what happened to me last year. So I had a thing with this guy, 2 months. Situation. But guy wa corner. Like he ticks the boxes. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the head of Africa for the thing that he
does. Yeah, don't say
no,
word.
I can't. It's,
yeah, but he's a serious player.
Yeah, can't. So
and
I think,
a player.
So I think, okay, okay, brother. Yeah, well, we're here. We've got the same amount to lose and to gain. You know, 2 months into it, I was like, you're needy. I was like, we're ending this, but we can be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Cut a long story short. Eugene was telling me, was it you? Eugene was like, yeah, but it's what a man can do. It's bragging rights. This guy now, apparently after we had our thing, started talking to his ladies, but you know, I banged the unstan.
So how's that?
Now, one of his crazy, like, escapades, which he denies, has now joined my gym. No, she's joined my gym and she's stalking me. I literally had to tell Snaggle the other day. I said, you see that woman there with the this and then that and the that. I said, if she ever greets you when I'm not around, tell her my mother specifically said, I am not to talk to you. And I'm looking into the camera because I know she's watching right now. So that's why I'm not dating, G.
Okay,
I've got my phone.
You.
I've got my trusted army. I don't want to say army.
Big, let's just say there's a big drawer of sex toys somewhere.
He says to me, I was telling him, I was like, I hate this era. You know, because I'm always holding my phone, so my hands get so. He's like, nah, instead of those are your sex toys. I'm like, nah, G. Also, when's the Sexpo this year?
Oh, come on, stop it. You're sounding desperate.
When is it, Sammy? Is it now? Is it October?
You know,
September, October. It is October. It's usually last weekend of October. Jung.
Look,
it's
she knows.
It's usually last weekend of October.
So, all right, let's just talk a little bit about some of the things that we're all going. You know a lot about me. You know, for example, I have a sign up in my house that says no one is allowed.
No shitting in my house.
Yes.
He literally has a sign that says absolutely no shitting in my house.
And you feel the same way.
I do. I don't like people's smells. And I think it's offensive. And you told me this, actually. So we had a thing on, literally when the cameras went, we used to say that the reality show is actually when the cameras are off. Because the shit we'd say when the cameras are off. And one of the things Gareth always used to say, and he still says it, and it's how I raise my kids now. I always remind them, thank you, my love. I always remind them and I say, you know, Uncle Gareth says, and then they go, yes, mom. He always says, it's very offensive to make people hear your body noises and to make them experience your body smells. So that's why.
I'm so proud. I don't have my own children.
You're raising mine with me.
I've done some good work. I have done God's work in Onati's household.
So literally, like, I'm like, bad breath, armpits. I don't want to smell what your body smells like. Like, just keep it.
Keep it tidy.
Keep it well mannered.
Yeah.
Have manners.
Dignity.
Have manners. Yeah.
All right. So what we're going to do, because the whole idea here is that we really wanted to talk about a bunch of stuff, and I don't want to, the questions here, you guys are VIPs. You all get to answer these questions. You all get to ask rather these questions. And it's not often. And Unati said she's not going to be doing a whole lot of press because she's not looking for the attention.
You're the only interview I'm doing. Literally.
So if you want to ask her some things, you want to ask me some things, we're going to let you have a go now because I also don't want us to sit here. We start a little bit late, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time. The idea here is that we're going to have very many guests, but I wanted you to be the first one here because I love you. And
I love you, Jim.
You have stories and you talk about everything and you're open about all the stuff. And we need to encourage people, especially young people who are growing up and are worried about social media and what other people think of them. I mean, there's this horrible statistic that came up the other day in America about 1/3 of teenage girls in America have seriously contemplated suicide.
Yeah, I can
believe it. I hear things like that, and I think about people who have daughters. I think about people who I know, who I grew up with, whose kids are now at that age, and I think this is not the way it should be. Because we've always had problems. People have always had to deal with stuff. But this thing here, while it's all the good things we've spoken about, it worries me that, you know, the temptation to believe everything here. And many of us in this room are old enough to know that that's not the truth. And that that isn't the world. But it does bug me that there's so many who don't know that. And you also grew up in an era where we had to fight for everything.
Yeah.
But you knew what was real.
Yeah.
You knew what the truth was.
I was raised by a clinical psychologist, so he fortified my mind, and he fortified my soul, and he fortified my heart, and he still does. You know, to be a black woman, to have a black father who is as present and
privilege. I hate to say it because that word's been politicized, but the greatest privilege you can have is both parents who love you.
And this is what I have, and I have it, and it's a privilege. You know, my therapist was even saying to me, I should do a podcast with my father, because black.
You know,
fathers,
I know someone who can do that.
Black fathers.
We can. I know someone who can make a podcast for you.
I happen to. Should I call him?
Go to hell.
Should I call him?
Go to hell. So what did your dad say? I interrupted you.
Yeah. So I always quote my father, and I think that's why my therapist was like, you and your father need to do a podcast. My father says, needing people to understand who you are adds absolutely no value to you because it doesn't change your trajectory. I'm sorry, brother. Did I kill you? It's just the way you were like, you
he
literally.
Just, he just had a mini stroke.
No, literally. He was like, whoa.
Seppo, you're right. Seppo, sit down.
You saw him there?
Sit down.
Seppo was like, whoa. So needing anyone outside of yourself
strangers
to understand
affirmation
you adds no value to you because they're not going to give you more money. They're not going to give you a job. It's not going to make you more capable in whatever
well,
you have
give
to
give you
deliver.
More money if you open up an OnlyFans.
I get you, right? Nipples only. Do you know what I mean? But other than that, like what do they really do?
No.
So the only thing we need to work on is understanding ourselves. As opposed to wanting other people to understand us. And that's the problem here, is that we're all seeking external validation. And I say all because we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll thirst trap y'all on a first dance on pow.
Yeah.
Just to get you out of your meetings on some J. And I'm just doing it in J. Like,
you're
going to
be
like
you're going to age. Like, you're going to age like Tina Turner. I can see it now. Jesus, she's still hot. Hey? Tina Turner, let me tell you something.
I love her.
I think, because I've never really thought about this very much, but there's something about those, like Tina Turner does not do anything she doesn't want to do anymore. They've offered her billions of dollars to do one more show.
Maybe Vegas or something.
And
she's like, no.
She says, she lives in Switzerland with her
married
husband.
To a younger guy.
So much money. She does whatever she wants. Tina Turner wakes up in the morning. She does. I think you're going to live like that.
So that's another reason
why
I don't
goal?
Want to date.
Is that the goal?
Completely. We're black at my final wedding. You know what I mean? That's another reason why I don't date. Ne? Mm. The younger ones, too enthusiastic. Oh! Then the older ones, too lethargic. They don't have energy for
so
me.
So where's the goal?
So
where's the hang on?
Today.
Where's the Goldilocks zone?
There's no Goldilocks zone. This is what I'm saying. My age group.
Nothing.
My age group is too needy and childish. Ne? 40-somethings, you know yourselves, man. Come on, early 40s, you know yourselves. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to raise another nigga. Because
got
also,
because
also you like. How honest can I be? Can I be honest?
Yeah, go. Well, yo, she's not guys. Like she's holding back so far.
Oh, we have a man up. We have a man now. He's like, I mean.
Come on.
Can I say it like
Come
it
on.
Is?
Go on.
Guys, there's nothing more unattractive than a man wanting you to raise him and then expecting you to fuck him. Like, we can't fuck our sons. So that's why, like, my age group is unattractive to me. Then the younger ones are Temba.
You see why we needed to do live events, by the way. I think everybody's been called out at least once during this.
Yeah, can't. And then the younger ones are too enthusiastic. And then the older ones, yo, can I be honest? Yes. One round for the whole night. Kill me. I didn't leave home for this. So that's why I'm not dating. Yo.
All right. Let's see them.
So I've got problems in the dating sphere. Sorry, did we break the mic
so
much?
No, I don't know. Am I still... Let's see them put this on TV where Idols was. So get some ratings again. Let them get some ratings for the first time in ages.
Guys, so do you know what I mean? So for me, it's like tricky territory. Like, I want you to work on you. Mm. I want you to work on me.
Yeah.
I want us to meet here in the table. And I want us to vibe here. I don't want to now come and now I must. And the thing is, because of my ancestral gift. Yo! It's like flies to a turd.
That's not a very nice metaphor for you.
No.
Uh-uh.
It's okay. I get it, but it's okay. So I attract...
I would say like bees to the flower.
Bees to the flower. Teach like, yeah.
You know?
Okay. So can we start that again?
Because
it's like bees because, to a fly.
Because a
They're
bee,
gonna call me a piece of
because
shit.
Because a bee has no business trying to explain to flies why they should be on flowers and not on shit.
So as I was saying,
we didn't rehearse that. That's what professionals do.
And professionals know how to pick up. So as you were saying, it's like flower.
So
it's
good.
Like bees to a flower.
Mm.
So I find that like I'll attract someone.
Sorry, I just thought like a moth to a flame, burned by the desire. Fire. My love is blind. Can't you see my desire?
That's the way love. I lost my virginity to that song.
You did?
I lost my virginity
to that headline. I lost my virginity to that song, Janet Jackson.
I did. It wasn't the year the song was released, by the way. I wasn't fucking in 93.
All right, so again, I interrupted you. But...
No. We'll get back to it. But it's like bees to a flower. So I'll attract a certain type of man, or he'll be attracted to me, and we'll bond and we'll chat and we'll get to know each other. And then all of a sudden is, can you help me with this thing?
Oh no.
And then I lose my attraction towards you, because also, G, like, I want an alpha male.
Mm-hmm.
People will be very shocked.
I've
never hit on a man. I don't know how to hit on a man. So I'll never make the first move. So I need you to know that you are enough to come and approach me. Yeah, God?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This
is such a big deal. So
I need things.
Where are, because your son's going to grow up and he's going to date. And you hope he's an alpha male, because masculinity has also come under fire lately. And
it's this whole woke culture. Have you seen Ronald Dahl? Roald Dahl, have you heard about that?
Yeah.
They've got to remove the word fat from all the books and replace the word fat with enormous.
Which is worse.
This is what I was saying.
If I say to G, you know, you look a bit fat today, you're going to be upset.
You
if I
finish
go,
that sentence.
You are enormous.
Which is what I was saying. When I was much heavier, I would have preferred to be called. I don't use the word fat, by the way, because it also it's like but it's less than
woke.
Enormous.
You're so woke.
No, I'm not angry. Not angry. Do you know what I mean? So it's you were saying you hope Snuggle's an alpha male as well.
Yeah, because a lot of guys, and this is a problem. I've one of my friends runs like a dating thing. He says there's no quality men out there, and the girls come. And they're looking for these guys, and these guys are all these simpy, like,
They want to make up for their parents or their...
I mean, what's that all, like, you don't want those, nobody wants those guys.
Guy, I tried to date the year before this last guy. 2021 now. Same, January, February. That's why I'm single this January, February, because I'm breaking the cycle, do you know what I mean? Because I was like, 2021, Jan, Feb. 2022, Jan, Feb. That's why I'm like, Jan, Feb, 2023, I'm on my own. 2021, Jan, Feb, hunts me down, literally. Works, Office of the Presidency. You see, they come with their smoke and mirrors.
Was he the one who stole the PPE money?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
Whew. We don't do criminals.
Sure.
We don't do criminals. He's not the one.
Yeah.
But he comes, Office of the Presidency, under the guise. But he does work for the Office of the Presidency. But he comes as if, you know, he wants to work, 50th anniversary of women in the Defense Force, all of that stuff. Then conversations start, you know, may I take you out for dinner? Wada. So I'm like, sharp. Eventually we start dating. Literally didn't have a relationship with his father. It's this whole black South African man thing. Didn't have a relationship. Broken. Broken. You know what I mean? It so happens while we're together, his father comes out of the woodwork. Out of nowhere, after like 15 years. I'm literally watching this man turn into
the
5-year-old boy who wanted now to make up for. And I'm listening to this man in his 40s going, but I don't know what my dad would think. And I don't know what my dad would say. Eventually I had to say, you know what, brother, I can't, me. Because now you sound worse than my son. Because my son doesn't, I don't know what my dad would say. He goes to his dad, dad, what do you think about this? Dad says no. He says, but dad, how about no? Dad says, thank you for actually, dad, thank you for seeing my point. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's adult. But
so that's why I like dating.
No, I feel it's,
guys, I don't have
you know,
the emotional
capacity. Without making it too general, I think it's going to be tough for a lot of women to find the right guy more than ever before.
Yeah.
Because at least some would go to war and become men, you know?
Right.
Like, it's a horrible thing to say, but yeah. you don't know.
What's your dating life like? Why are we focusing on me?
My dating, by design, I keep my life completely uncomplicated.
Yeah.
Because first of all, I'm not needy. You know this about me.
Yeah.
Not needy. There's not a lot that I want.
Yeah.
And want and need are very different things. So if you want something, you can have it.
Yeah.
If you need something, it's pathological. It can be.
It's also very narcissistic because I think there are very few things that we actually need.
But
so for someone to put that energy on you is a very selfish.
While we're on this, because he's also someone I know and I like.
Who?
You and your ex-husband get on well now.
We get on very well. And we've always gotten along well.
But you just don't want to be husband and wife.
No, we can't be.
Yeah.
No, we can't. And I say it with love because we've realized we love each other better differently.
But you've made two lovely human beings.
Two lovely human beings. We're looking forward to our son's initiation.
Mm.
We have lunch now. We have dinners. He comes over. He bakes. It's wonderful now.
That's amazing.
He teaches us. Titi. And he's your friend. Jesus. He's my greatest love. Is my greatest love. And with great loves, you have to allow them to evolve as you evolve. I'm not the Unati who he fell in love with at YFM. And he's not the bad boy T that I fell in love with at YFM. Now he's Utataka Snago, Utataka Imbo. And we both had to allow ourselves to evolve into those places as individuals and accept that as we're growing as individuals, then the union now is not as where it was.
But it's also
so it's okay and it's beautiful now.
It's not just okay, it's better, as you
it's
said,
better.
Because now it's 2023 and it doesn't, divorce does not equal like, oh, you failed somewhere or, you know, cause that used to, and if you were two generations back, there was no changing your mind.
Oh, there's it's beautiful. Like I look at we have virtual meetings with both families and both elders from both, and we're all
There's some crazy people in both your families
too. Oh, we're crazy. Like, do you know what I mean? We're crazy. And it's wonderful to see everyone laugh and at a place where, do you know what T and I did? We fortified ourselves away from everything and everyone so that whatever happened in front of the media, we knew who we are, you know? And I think, I don't like to get personal, but to explain, I think the third thing that people want me to clarify was the Kaya Idols and Somizi.
Oh, right.
And what happened?
Because, I mean, you guys were thick as thieves. We all were.
All four of us were thick as thieves. And Thomas and I got divorced. You and Randall didn't choose sides. But he did.
I was taught that by somebody.
Never choose sides. Mm. But he did. And even when we sat on the judging table and I was professional, he was choosing sides. And for my family and I, it was fine for him to go on boys' trips with Thomas to his Mbali house and all of that. But where we said that you don't cross this line now is where he'd come back and then speak smack about me on the very same reality show. You know what I mean? So now you're showing that you're choosing sides. You're going on boys' trips.
You have no relationship at all?
No.
Nothing.
So my father, clinical psychologist, he called me the one day and he's like, Danam, what's going on there? And I said, it's just him being him. And he said, and my dad said, this is your real life.
Boundaries.
Now. This is your real life. And we've raised you to go to school for what you do. Your life is not going to be on your own reality show, never mind someone else's. And my dad was like, this boy is no longer your friend. And I said, Dad, no, but he is. It's just doing it for the reality show. And my dad was like, he's chosen sides. And my dad was like, look at it play out. And he wants your divorce to play out on his reality show.
Mm.
And that's not going to happen in the Ngaine. And then that's when my dad was like, it was like a month before the wedding. My dad was like, you're not going to the wedding.
Sure.
And I said, I'm not going to the wedding. And he said, you're not going to the wedding. And then other family members from around the country started calling me because we're all watching it play out on his reality show, you know, and they're all calling me to say, he's chosen sides. You're not going to the reality. You're not going to the wedding. You're not going to the wedding. That's going to be your first statement.
Sure.
And that's why I didn't go to the wedding. And then I just let, you know, let him choose sides. And that's the reality of it. I don't hate him. We haven't fought. We just don't have a relationship because he chose sides. And then when South Africa came for me, because that, I think that's where, because I've always been a professional. You know what I mean? We've always gotten along and I'll never show who I like or who I don't like. But when I started raising the R. Kelly thing and people were, because his allegations were coming up and people were like, yeah, but you're quiet about your friend. And that's when I said, we're not friends. And that's when, you know, and because I, as you say, I don't speak, I don't talk, I just make a statement and I know.
Well,
why
our next guest, Somizi.
And you know what's funny? And you know,
it would be fine.
No, it would be fine.
I know it would be fine.
You know what's funny? Just sorry to conclude this part is on his reality show last year, he dedicated an entire episode about me. It was the second episode of the new season. And whose show did he go on to promote that episode? Thomas's show. Yeah, when he was still doing breakfast with Uskumba. So that's, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I called Thomas after that, and I'm like,
so what have we learned? We have learned that you need to have a father who's a psychologist. we have learned that you always, even
listen
if...
Listen to your parents.
You listen to your parents. I mean, this is good advice,
I
right?
I listen to my parents.
Sure.
My mom
even
said,
in
you're
your
gonna 40s. Sue. I'm suing now.
Right. So you fight.
Yes.
You don't take other people's shit if you don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really inspiring. And we must stop talking about shit. It's so lavatorial. But
Sam's like, thank you.
but I love that there are people who know what they're doing. They know what they're good at.
Thank you, my love.
That they do what they do. They do it in front of all of us and entertain us.
Yeah.
Innocent.
Thank you.
They raise two children. They are a good daughter.
Thank you.
And a good descendant of some pretty fucking great ancestors.
Oh, Mark.
And that we can all take something from this. I mean, it really is spectacular.
Thank you.
You're spectacular.
Thank
I love you.
Thank you for having me. You know I love you.
Right.
You know I
questions
love you.
Before this breaks down like a Dr. Phil episode. Who wants to? We only got like a few minutes, so
if
put
anyone
your hand
does
up.
Have
go.
Anything to ask.
Go. This is the only chance you're going to get with her, so come on. See that we've answered it all.
I think we've said it all.
We've said it all.
I think we've pretty much said it all.
All right. Lebang.
How soon can we get your dad into recording?
No, really.
These few moments,
yeah.
I'm
Sure.
Even just as an example.
Sure.
So after this, can you please just have a quick
It's so please, yeah. And I'm it's happening. I called him. So my parents are very weird. They're not weird, I love them. My parents are so modern. So we've got a family house here in Pretoria. We all moved here in 2001, but we've still got our family house in Grahamstown. My dad's family house, my mom's family house, two of them in Grahamstown. Then we've got a family house in GQ.
Very, very wealthy family.
No, we're not. Now you're going to make me a target. No, we're not. I don't know. We're not.
La Bala. La Bala is going to be big for me.
No,
I'm going to have to mortgage everything.
You know what I mean? Yes, because we want that land.
The land. So,
the land.
You want the land.
I want the land. So to cut the story short, both my parents are in Grahamstown right now. My dad's at his dad's his family house. My mom's at her family house. So when I call them, I have to be like, are you together or are you not? Or can I speak to the one? So basically I spoke to him last week and I told him why there's a need for him to, flaws and all, he's a very flawed man. So I don't want to like put him on a pedestal and then, you know what I mean? Flaws and all. Very flawed human being, but an exceptional father. And I spoke to him last week and he's agreed to do it. So we are going
to
do it.
To put not that's amazing. Yes.
Thank you.
Because to put not too fine a point on it, there is still a lot of stigma and shame around even asking for help.
Yeah.
Especially for young men.
Yeah.
Especially for young black men. This is the thing we need to do.
An industry friend of ours, you know, we've been friends for over 20 years and he's in his 40s as well. And I posted a video on Instagram. The city of Joburg was coming to switch off my lights at the house, but they owed me money.
Yeah.
And I was saying in my video, like my father, two things he taught me. Pay your mortgage ahead and pay your lights ahead. If I hadn't paid my mortgage ahead from 2007, my house would have been taken last year from what Kaya did to me.
Really?
It would have been gone.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Gone. Because what I did from 2007 was pay $5,000 extra on my mortgage every month from 2007. So for the past year, I didn't pay my mortgage at all because I was so ahead. And my father told me to do that in 2007. He's like, you will pay extra on your mortgage, even if it's R100, but pay the most you can. Because can you imagine how many 5,000 rands I would have wasted on my red bottoms or my perfume or... Do you know what I mean? But because I put away that extra 5,000 rand from 2007, last year when that humiliation happened to me and everybody stopped calling me and giving me business.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Phone just...
Is it on? Is it flat? Ichachile. You know what I mean? So great advice. And then the city of Joburg one, my friend called me and he's like, you know, just to have a father to impart certain nuggets. He's like, Unati, I've never thought of paying city of Joburg ahead.
No one's teaching anyone these things.
And I'm like, really? He's like, I've never thought of paying. He's like, mortgage, yes, but city of Joburg? I'm like, they take money every month. So you might as well have money in there anyway, just in case July is bad for you and they don't come and switch you off.
So we came here tonight for financial fitness advice with Natty. So, all right, listen, guys, I'm going to have to wrap this up. We did start late and I was going to give people a lot more time for questions, but I think we covered quite a lot of ground.
I think we've got enough.
She's got like hours of stories in her. We're going to have to go and drink one night.
Can we?
And then we can
get Uber and tequila.
Wherever, baby.
Tequila and water.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's the way. It's our recipe for success. So there we are, kids. Drink tequila. This public
with
service
water. Announcement. Don't mix it with other alcohol.
No, that's very important.
That's our secret, though. That is the very secret. Important. We call them tequila nights, where Randall will bake. People don't know Randall's an incredible baker. He still bakes for my daughter now.
I think that's actually where
Thomas has gotten his new baking thing from now as well.
Yeah, he's a whiz in the kitchen.
Yeah, so we have tequila nights, but the only thing you drink is tequila and water.
But tonight we got to share with you, and I want to thank everybody for participating. You're all VIPs. You're the first people to get to see this. I hope it's going to be the start of a whole new chapter here. I have every reason to believe that Eugene Kozza will be funnier next time. Jeez. Fuck, was that disappointing.
He was put in the context. Also, it's so nice to see you, dude. Like, you're busy shouting at Gareth and telling him to
space. He's done the right thing.
That time you're occupying my space in GQ. Neighbor. Can I call you neighbor? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you. I love you. Thank you, everybody.
Right.
Please. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for the one, the only. I don't need help.
Oh.
The one, the only man who looks great in mint because he owns the South African mint. Eugene Kozza!
Oh, wow, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think the vision has been fulfilled, right, Gareth? When we sat in that room and we brainstormed, there's only one name that came to mind, and that was Unati. We wanted you to set the tone of what adult conversation sounds like. And that's what... It's true. That's the word Titi taught me the other day. After I've done my one-man show, he was like, yes, it's so nice to hear what people our age are thinking about. And, you know, my friend Slebza likes to say, kill us out of a hole. Like adult conversation. And we miss that. There's no space for people to have adult conversation. And this room is going to be for that. Going forward, this is what the Uncancelled podcast is about. It's like grown-up conversation. There's no time, there's no limits, but we are having a good time talking about whatever we want to talk about with each other as well. And
please can I come next time and be in the audience?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what I've learned is never be afraid to stop and take a break and take care of yourself. None of this is going anywhere. You'll always find this thing again. You know, like I've learned from my estate agent who once said, there's no new house in the world, Eugene. Everyone has owned everything before.
Yeah.
So just buy what you like.
Yes.
And that's a metaphor for life going forward for now. I feel like we put ourselves under pressure to just outdo people that we don't know. And like you said, we're trying to impress people we've never seen before. And I want to encourage us to do just that, to have these conversations with our friends. And I wanted this to be a fly in the wall type of situation where you get to overhear what Gareth is interested in, what Unati has to say, what Eugene maybe wants to say some other day, and the next guest after that, and the next guest after that. So I'm looking forward to the series.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, please.
Before we conclude.
Go ahead.
I know what GQ gives me.
Yeah.
Kabeja.
Yeah.
I know the sea, I know the wind, I know the clarity,
yeah.
I know the humility, I know the peace,
yeah.
The tranquility.
Yeah.
G was saying to me before we started this interview, and he's saying, it's so weird how throughout all your turmoil, Unati, this past year, you've been so serene.
Yeah.
And I was saying, because it's imprinted in my DNA, and that's how I deal with people who think they're going to come for me or destroy me.
Mm.
I go to the bottom of the seabed. Mm. I'm very, very good at that. My power is my silence. Mm. So I'll go to the bottom of the seabed and I'll let all the clucka clucka happen on the top. It's the waves, it's the ships, it's the whales, it's the dolphins, it's this animal's chowing, this animal, there's a human dying, the foot is being chowed.
Mm.
But I'm at the bottom of the seabed. But it is! Sammy, but you get it, right, Sammy?
Yes.
It's ships, it's yeah. It's strange Chinese balloons that we don't know that are watching us hovering. But when you go down to the bottom of the seabed, you're still traveling along, but you've left all the mess up there and it's silent.
Mm.
And the silence is loud.
Mm.
So you can hear yourself even more. So that's what I do, and that's what I did this last year.
Mm.
What did leaving GP, leaving your fame, coming to my hood for an entire year to live on a beach house, where did you find the strength to do that, firstly?
Mm.
And what did you learn about yourself?
And ladies and gentlemen, for the answer, you will have to join us for the next podcast.
Yes! Yeah! Yeah!
Keep some of that stuff for later.
Like, what did that year do for you?
I think for the longest time, I was very fearful. I was very fearful from a young age. I was fearful from growing up with an alcoholic father. You never knew what he was going to do next. I was fearful because I had a mother who was a nurse, who was a hard worker, who woke up at 4 a.m. and would walk from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. going to the train station only to get to work at 8:30. She did that for her entire career, her entire life. I grew up fearful of what she will go through in the street at night because I was a young kid who couldn't protect her. I grew up not knowing if I was going to be able to go to university or not. And I couldn't. And as soon as that was reality for me, I made another plan and another plan and another plan and another plan. And what my mother always taught me was never be afraid to try. And when I had hit that wall and I'd lost my son and I'd lost my best friend, and I knew that all of this will be here when I come back, I rolled the dice. I opened Property 24 and I said, the first house that shows up, I'm in there.
And my people called you?
Yes. And the first place that showed up...
My people called you?
Yes. The first place that showed up was that. And I remembered the words of my mom. And I said, I can always start again. And 2 days later, we were on a moving truck. stuff was being moved. We were on a flight, my daughter and I, and we found this beautiful paradise where we were the only black people in that whole entire neighborhood.
And what are you saying about black people calling it paradise?
And what I learned from being there was, as a fear and fear from being a person of color, being a black man, is it teaches you that things can be taken away from you. Mm. And what I've learned from white people is...
But white GQs are different to the rest. Eh? Yes, white GQs are the best in the world.
Yes.
White GQs are different to the entire world. They're the best.
And
no, they are. The friendliest people are... it's a bunch of other way. And they're nice.
And they've mastered the art of leisure. And that's one thing...
Welcome to my life.
Yes. I never thought I'd be able to have leisure. And when I stripped myself of the work that I could have had and the opportunities that I could have had, and I just enjoyed the little things of going to the beach, you know, swimming and taking strolls
with my daughter after school. Fetching, I was going to say, that's what my friends do. Yes. They fetch their kids from school every day and they hit the beach.
Yes.
Literally. And that's our lives in GQ.
We did that for a year and it made us stronger. It made me stronger. And coincidentally, when I came back to the city, I came back for one thing and I ended up staying. You know, when the movers came to the house, they were like, your house looks like a crime scene. Like you were here one day and you were not the other day. And I was like, that's how life is. And now I'm open to possibility. So when I went to Garrett's show, that was the one thing that was foremost to my mind. And I said to him, I cannot allow you to deny South Africa what you have to say.
Thank you
The person that
I've missed your voice. Thank you for that.
The person that you are,
Eugene,
behind the mic is what I want people to experience.
Yeah.
Because I look forward to having conversations with him once
a
year.
Listen, you need more microphone in front of your face.
Yes.
But not tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, please.
And you, sir?
Yes.
I thank you for hauling me out of the very peaceful, happy, quiet, contented place I was in forcing.
But also, thank you for taking the responsibility.
Yes.
No, I mean it, G. Come on.
Listen, thank you all for coming. Have something to drink. Have something to eat.
Eugene,
I love you. Unati, I love you. Thank you, everybody.
I love you.
Thank you.
I love you, my friend.
CliffCentral.com.